Thank you, America. For over 70 years, GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance, and because of you, they've been the nation's fastest-growing car insurance company over the past 5 years. To show our appreciation, call within the next 15 minutes and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. This is not a limited-time offer, and okay, actually you could call whenever you like. But why are we even arguing about this, America?
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Pro EFT Radio with Lindsay Kinney, EFT Master. If you're new to EFT, please visit us at proeft.com after the show to familiarize yourself with meridian tapping. It's important to learn the basics of EFT in order to get the most out of the material we'll be covering in these programs. You'll find a wealth of free resources at proeft.com, including a free starter program that will help you build on a solid foundation for tapping. Now here's Lindsay.
Hello everyone, this is Lindsay Kinney. I am happy tonight to be interviewing one of my favorite students, Bill Double. He is a certified pro EFT practitioner, and he's been searching for the mind-body ultimate healing experience for a long time. And on his way there, he became an acupressure massage therapist, a psychiatric nurse for 16 years at St. Al's Hospital in Boise, Idaho. He has a strong background in psychology and a yoga instructor. And then on top of that, he tap dances and is an airline pilot and is running for the Senate. But Bill is a wonderful guy and does a lot of work, especially with eliminating stress, painful emotions, and trauma with EFT. And he is CEO of the very first pro EFT center that I've known of in Eagle, Idaho, out near Boise. So say hello, Bill.
Hello, Lindsay. How are you doing? And thank you for that wonderful introduction. I love that.
Well, you're an amazing guy, and a short introduction doesn't quite do it. So you'll have to read his biography. But Bill was in our practitioner's intensive last year, and I was very impressed by his skills as a practitioner and his empathy and compassion with people and many other things as well. He's a really terrific guy, and he's doing a lot with EFT and tapping. And so we were going to talk about a variety of subjects today, but along a specific line. So, Bill, why don't you just start, and we'll have a conversation about this, and later on we'll do some tapping and see where this goes.
I think that's great. And the first thing I want to mention, Lindsay, for all the people I've worked with and myself, that I want everyone out there to appreciate how much Lindsay's work has helped so many people with such an incredible amount of suffering that we see when we go out there. So I want to just let you know how grateful I am, because it's helped me and helped all these people I worked with, and they don't even know.
Well, it's very sweet of you to say that, Bill. I'm glad I gave you that $20 under the table.
Okay. Thank you.
That was very nice. So what are we going to be talking about tonight?
Well, one of the ideas I had is to talk about how our stuck beliefs, these beliefs that are self-limiting and hurtful to us, are actually delusions.
Uh-huh.
And the definition of a delusion is pretty much that you have a belief, and no matter how much evidence is contrary to the belief, you stick with the belief anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And very often there are real popular delusions that I've been running into a lot lately is I'm powerless and vulnerable, I'm not enough, and instantly that's different than the other one, which is I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually even worse to feel that you're not enough.
Yeah.
You know, I always get rejected and abandoned. All of these kind of thoughts we have, we develop them, and they're just almost impossible to get rid of.
Yeah, that's true. We've talked about that a lot on the show, about Bruce Lipton's teachings about limiting beliefs and how limiting they are, how hard they are to get rid of, and how important they are to determine where we go and who we are.
That is so true. I did search for years looking for some way to get the body involved, and that's why I became a yoga teacher, and all of the psychological knowledge, like cognitive behavioral therapy, and I couldn't find a way to connect these. And when I ran into EFT, and after a few months of doing it, I went, wow, this is exactly what I've been searching for my whole life, you know, to give some kind of tool where you're changing the whole body simultaneously.
That's true. And why do you think that is?
Well, one of the things that happens is we have this normal biological function where we learn how to do the difficult, the hard thing, and that's part of every human being's makeup. And biologically, you know, when we grow up, we don't steal. We can wait. You know, we can go to school or practice or wait for something we want to have happen. We don't have to have every need fulfilled immediately. And that's all part of the way that we program when we're little. The problem is when you get hurt, or when you get terrified, when bad things happen to you, when you're told that you shouldn't feel the way you feel, we start developing these ideas, and they get hardwired in. I love you talking about Bruce Lipton, because he's a great guy, great resource to go check out, and he explains in pretty good detail how the unconscious mind just hardwires this in. It's moving at a slower brainwave rate, and we call that the theta predominant brainwave state, but there's no test on that later. And until you learn how to tap, I found there's really almost no way you can go back in there and change these beliefs.
Right. We say to our people, say to themselves all the time, why can't I just let this go? Why can't I forgive him? Why do I keep picking the wrong people for me? Why can't I lose weight? Here I go again. Why do I keep self-sabotaging? And if it was as easy as just saying, oh, I'm just going to stop doing this or thinking that, well, we'd all be just about perfect.
It's true, and that's one of the reasons that these, what I'm calling a fundamental delusion of how you're flawed, get so reinforced, because if you try to talk yourself out of what, let's say you feel like you're always going to get rejected, and you can tie it to weight or your relationships, whatever it's being tied to, every time that you try to do it differently and you fail again because this unconscious programming keeps going along, that makes you feel deeply inside that all these beliefs are actually true. I mean, you can prove it. You know, most clients I see can prove it hundreds of times over.
Sure, you're validating yourself, making yourself right. See there, or making your parents right. I knew it. I knew I was going to do that. Or it just reinforces the belief every single time. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy almost.
Yeah, it does. And I just thought of, I'm just working with a client who is a very, very high-achieving person. And her father had helped her get that way, but unfortunately, he was very critical, and nothing she ever did was good enough, you know, these unrelenting standards. And one of the tapping things, you can use humor in tapping, it really works, is we were doing a tapping sequence, and I mentioned that she had taken over the job for Dad, because after all, Dad's getting pretty old, and he doesn't have the energy he used to call her up and give her the new criticism she needs to hear.
Yeah.
She just loved that. And I encourage everyone when they're tapping to find angles like that to help you begin to defeat these beliefs while you're doing your round sequences, even your setups.
Well, sure, that's really important. How do you approach someone who clearly has a belief, a delusional belief or delusion that holds them back? How do you approach it, Bill?
Well, I can give an example of somebody I just worked with yesterday. This is a person who was assaulted horribly earlier in life, and so she believed totally that she was powerless and vulnerable, and her fear was 10 out of 10. So I first explained this idea of reversals, that if I told her, you know, you're in a safe place in the room you're in, I've been in this room plenty of times, I've never seen anybody hurt, and if I had used that reasoning with her for her to feel less fearful, immediately, and I told her before I said that, I'm not actually telling you this, and she still had this response of, I have so many things that have happened, and this is totally legitimate. You know, all of these emotions start to come to the surface when you try to challenge the original delusion.
Mm-hmm.
And your technique of reversals, and incidentally, that's why I'm a progressive emotional freedom person, is because I saw on the Tapping Summit Lindsay doing this thing called a reversal, and I went, oh my goodness, that's the best thing I've ever seen. Yeah.
I know, it's so simple, and I hear that often, that people say it's the most simple thing and the most important thing is to neutralize that subconscious resistance to change. So
absolutely, because of course this person I was working with wanted with every ounce of her being to not fear, to feel fearful.
Uh-huh.
But telling her not to feel fearful is like the worst thing you can do. So.
Sure.
So we did a reversal. In fact, do you want to do one for a second?
I was going to say that'd be great. I'll be your echo.
Okay. So I first explained that it's going to sound totally backwards, but if we don't agree with this side of you, it's a lot like rearranging the furniture in a room without having gone through the door yet. And I just explained reversals. This is the door opener. So we tap our two karate chop points together, and we say, so even though I'm filled with fear.
Even though I'm filled with fear.
And I can't get over this fear.
I can't get over this fear.
Because I have lots of reasons, and I can prove it.
I have lots of reasons, and I can prove it.
I really do want to love and accept myself anyway.
I do want to love and accept myself anyway. Hold on a second, Bill. I want to encourage everybody to be doing this with us, regardless of what your issue is. You can say even the word fear, but just do it with us. You'll see some change. So go ahead. I forgot to tee that up.
And at that point, of course, she has the emotional reaction about the loving and accepting herself.
Yeah.
So the next time I say, so even though you can't make me get rid of this fear.
Even though you can't make me get rid of this fear.
And this was the first session, so I said, particularly with this goofy-looking tapping.
Particularly with this goofy-looking tapping.
If I could feel lovable and acceptable, I probably would.
If I could feel lovable and acceptable, I probably would.
And then we do usually in threes, and the next one. So even though I'm pretty sure I can't get rid of this fear.
Even though I'm sure I can't get rid of this fear.
I really want to love and accept myself if I can.
I really want to love and accept myself if I can.
Anyway.
Anyway.
I love this one, and you can throw this in. So there.
So there.
And that's an example of a reversal, and it's so wonderful because it kind of clears the room. Things are starting to calm down. You've thrown a little bit of humor in. You've addressed that side. And then you can start doing your setups. And one of course, a core one we do, and my absolute favorite of all time, is the Golden Gate Technique.
Mm-hmm.
And you can begin to work through lowering this awful fear that people suffer from.
Well, let's just go through that. Fear is, I believe, that it, in different areas, different ways that manifests, fear is the biggest impediment in our life that holds us back from what we want. And it shows up in those delusions because those delusions keep us protected. And so people think of fear sometimes as, well, I'm not afraid of spiders or heights or anything like that. It's those little fears that get us, the fear of failing or succeeding or being vulnerable or being rejected, those things that get us. So I imagine everybody just about listening to this has some kind of fear in their life that holds them back in some way. So let's just do a couple of rounds on that, how you would take it from there.
Sure, that would be great. And we'll go ahead and do the karate chop point again.
Okay.
And I want to emphasize, too, when you're working, you know, I mentioned this person had a horrible event happen.
Mm-hmm.
We don't start going into the horrible event. This is like the very, very, very tearless trauma technique. We just deal with the emotions and get those so they're down and calm before you ever go and work on the more core issues we might talk about in a minute. So
okay.
You tap your karate chop points together.
Okay.
And say, even though I'm filled with fear.
Even though I'm filled with fear.
I do love and accept myself anyway.
I do love and accept myself anyway.
Even though for whatever reasons.
Even though for whatever reason.
And I've got lots of them.
And I have lots of them.
I really do love and accept myself anyway.
I do love and accept myself anyway.
So even though I have all this fear.
Even though I have all this fear.
And it's justified.
It's justified, by golly.
And, you know, in this room, I realize people don't get hurt.
Even though I realize in this room people don't get hurt.
My fear is still justified.
My fear is still justified.
Okay. I do love and accept myself anyway.
I do love and accept myself anyway sometimes.
Okay. That's perfect. And then we're going to go to the eyebrow point, and we're going to start doing around.
Okay.
And let's call it this justified fear.
Oh,
so even though I have this justified fear.
This justified fear.
This justified fear.
Outside of the eyes, this justified fear.
Under eye, this justified fear.
This justified fear.
And we do the nose and chin points together, which is actually underneath the nose, above the chin. This justified fear.
This justified fear.
Collarbone, justified fear.
Justified fear.
And I like to throw in something like here under arms. This justified fear, and it's really justified.
This justified fear is really justified.
And the next one, this justified fear that I could talk hours about.
This justified fear that I could talk hours about. I could tell you some stories.
That's perfect. If now we're in the wrist point, I could tell you some stories.
I could tell you some stories.
I really do have justifiable fear.
I really do have justifiable fear.
And I'm sitting in this room, and I'm 10 out of 10.
So are we in the top of the head?
Yeah, we can say that. That's good. I'm glad you're keeping track for me.
I'm not sure. I might have missed one. So I'm in this room, and I still feel fear. Is that what we said?
Yeah, I still feel fear. And we're not even going to talk about all the reasons why I feel this fear.
We're not even going to talk about all the reasons I feel this fear.
We don't have to go there.
Anybody just move to the next point when we change phrases, and it'll save us some time.
Yeah.
I don't even have to go there.
This justifiable fear.
This justifiable fear.
From all of these things that have happened.
From all of these things that have happened.
I have this justifiable fear.
On the collarbone. I have these this justifiable fear.
And I have my reasons.
And I have good reasons.
And I even am thankful that I have this fear.
I'm thankful I have this fear. It protects me.
Yes, that's it. The next point around the wrist. This fear protects me.
This fear protects me.
This justifiable fear on the top of the head.
This justifiable fear.
Okay. Now we take an inhale. And then we take an exhale. And we always take that time. And then I give the client, of course, at this point, we have a chance to talk a little bit and kind of check in. And we always check and see if the SUDS, which is that distressful emotional state that we've measured. And again, in the pretend client we're working on right now, they started 10 out of 10.
Uh-huh.
And we see how it worked.
So most people would be at this point probably at a 7 or 8, right?
In fact, yeah. Where I did it yesterday, you just hit the score right on the head. And if they need a space, one of the things which I think is very good to interject here, let's say it stayed at 10. Most often it goes down, but if it stayed at 10, that's not a failure at all. That just means we have to do another reversal.
That's right.
And quite often at this point, that's what I'll explain. You know, when you get stuck, when your score goes up, do a reversal again.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you can keep going and just do a setup.
And sometimes a good thing to do when it's still at a 10 on that reversal is to do rounds on it. Instead of just the karate chop, do a whole round arguing, I don't want to let this go. This is justifiable. This is real. I'm lost without it or whatever. Let them vent even while you're doing the points. Just let the subconscious talk and say, I don't want to let it go and you can't make me.
I love that, and I love changing them off, too, which is quite surprising. Usually at a slightly lower score, but, you know, that idea of, you know, I'd really like to get over this when we're getting to that point.
Yeah.
And then have the next thing I have them repeat is, no, I don't.
Right. Well, let's do that. Let's do some of that. That's good.
Okay. So we'll just do the setup. So even though I still have this fear.
Even though I still have this fear.
I really do love and accept myself anyway.
I do love and accept myself anyway.
Oh, that was kind of easy to say. So even though I still have this fear.
Even though I have this fear.
I really want to love and accept myself.
I really want to love and accept myself.
Even the part that's afraid.
Even the part that's afraid.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
So even though I still have some fear.
Even though I still have some fear.
And it's, I haven't gotten rid of it in the last 10 minutes.
I haven't gotten rid of it in the last 10 minutes yet.
You know, I think I really do love and accept myself.
I do love and accept myself.
Anyway.
Okay.
So then we can do a round on remaining fear. So starting with eyebrows, this remaining fear.
This remaining fear.
This remaining fear.
This remaining fear.
This remaining justified fear.
This remaining justified fear.
Whatever's left of this fear I have.
Whatever's left of this fear I have.
And by the way, I might have quite a lot left.
On the collarbone, I might have a lot left.
Okay. This justified fear.
This justified fear.
What I have left of this justified fear.
What I have left of this justified fear.
And we're calling this my remaining justified fear.
This remaining justified fear.
I have this remaining fear.
I have this remaining fear.
And I want to get rid of it.
I want to get rid of it.
No, I don't.
No, I don't.
Next point, are you crazy?
Are you crazy?
Bad things have happened to me.
Bad things have happened to me.
Yeah, but there's another side of me that thinks not very many people have been hurt in this room.
There's another part of me that thinks no one's been hurt in this room.
And maybe I could feel just a little less fear right now.
Maybe I could feel a little less fear right now.
Well, maybe I can't.
Maybe I can't.
I mean, I feel fear a lot.
I feel fear a lot.
But the bigger, better part of me thinks that maybe if I felt a little less fear, it would be better.
Maybe there's a bigger part of me that feels if I felt less fear, I'd feel better.
You know, I think I could do that. Okay. We'll quit it right there. And one of the things I want to point out as you're taking your breath, which always remember to do, is I didn't end on the top of the head. I ended on the eyebrow point, and it's like, who cares?
That's right.
You just end wherever you end. It doesn't matter.
Good point,
this
Bill.
Isn't, yeah, this is not something you can mess up.
That's true.
And so that arguing back and forth, I have loved that ever since I saw Lindsay do that. And my clients absolutely just eat it up, too. And, it, you know, the same things that we say when we're bouncing off another person or when we're arguing with ourselves. Yes, I do. No, I don't. You know, and, in fact, in the session that I'm basing this on, that was one of the issues she first brought up before we got to the fear, is that I'm always thinking about, you know, am I hungry? Am I going to be able to sleep tonight? You know, what do I need to wear? You know, and she just was going through this whole list of thoughts that she couldn't ever release and let go so she could just be calm.
Yeah, when people have those question thoughts, those are fear thoughts anyways. Will I ever be? Can I? Will this last? Those are fear-based thoughts anyway. And you're right, people do have these conversations with themselves. So when you verbalize it, say, yes, I do, no, I don't, it allows your two sides, conscious and subconscious side, to kind of have a little tug of war with each other and come to a resolution without them really being very much involved. Other than the tapping, they're saying the words, but inside there's this little tug of war going on that gets resolved almost without us doing much.
And it does. And I ask the clients, particularly and when you're doing it on yourself, the same thing. When you get that little kind of, that's not, you know, something's sticking there. I have them say, tell me about that. Because quite often, either if it's not a reversal, that's the very next thing we need to tap on.
Yeah. Yes, it gives them a chance to say what's going on with them. I wanted to point out, too, to the listeners, one of the things Bill's doing is after events for a couple of rounds on just staying with the negative, this fear, this problem, he then goes to the middle phrase of the Golden Gate technique, which is the desire phrase, I want to let go of it. And that allows part of you to still hold on to it without not making it wrong, and the other part saying, yeah, but I kind of want to get rid of this. It's a very gentle way of releasing things, a nice transition.
And a way that really works and you can use with yourself or if you're helping somebody else is, I use the word pretend, because let's say that we're at a 7 now or a 6, somewhere in that area. I say, let's pretend you got to be in charge. How would you feel right now?
Oh, I like that, Bill. That's good. Pretend. I like it.
And so, Lindsay, how would you feel right now? Let's say you were in charge of how you wanted to feel.
Well, I would pretend, if I could pretend that I felt good, that would be good, but I can't pretend. I can't even imagine it.
All right. So is feeling good really what you would want if you could imagine it?
Sure. Oh, yes.
Okay. So let's just check in. Your SUD level, that's your distress level. Your fear level, 1 to 10, where is it?
Well, let's just say it's at a 4.
Okay, good. So that means we don't need to do a reversal. And again, it is not a failure if it jumped to a 10 again. Okay?
Okay.
So let's just go ahead and tap on the karate chop point.
Okay.
Even though? I don't think I can get over this.
Even though I don't think I can get over this.
And I certainly can't feel good.
I certainly can't feel good.
I want to feel good anyway.
I want to feel good anyway.
So even though I'm pretty sure I can't feel good.
Even though I'm doubtful that I can't feel good.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay. I want to feel good anyway.
I want to feel good anyway.
Even though for whatever reason. And I don't even have to know what they are. I have some doubt about feeling good. I want to feel good anyway. Okay, so we'll start with the eyebrows. This feeling good doubt.
This doubt that I have that I could ever really feel good.
We're going to call this my feeling good doubt.
We'll call it my feeling good doubt.
It's my feeling good doubt.
My feeling good doubt.
My feeling good doubt.
My feeling good doubt.
This doubt that's pretty justified.
This doubt that's pretty justified.
My feeling good doubt.
my feeling good doubt and my letting go of fear doubt.
Yes. By letting go of fear doubt.
By letting go of fear doubt.
I want to feel good anyway.
I want to feel good anyway.
I can vaguely remember I felt good once.
I can vaguely remember that I felt good once.
And I kind of liked it.
I liked it.
In fact, given the choice between fear and good.
Even the choice between fear and good.
I think I'd like to feel good.
I'd much rather feel good.
And if I'm going to feel good, I think I'm going to want to feel good.
If I'm going to feel good, then I'm going to want to feel good.
After all, sometimes I do feel good.
After all, sometimes I do feel good.
So I want to feel good.
I want to feel good.
I might even let myself feel good right now anyway.
I might let myself feel good right now.
So even though I have some doubt about this fear.
Even though I have some doubt about this fear.
I want to feel good anyway.
I want to feel good anyway.
Even though I have some doubt that I can feel good.
Even though I have some doubt that I can feel good.
I want to feel good anyway.
I want to feel good anyway.
This fear of feeling good doubt.
This fear of feeling good doubt.
I want to feel good anyway.
I want to feel good anyway.
And I want to thank that side of me that felt this fear.
I want to thank that side of me that felt this fear.
Because it helped keep me safe.
It helped keep me safe.
And I'd like to feel good now anyway.
And I'd like to feel good now anyway.
In fact, if I can, I'm going to feel good.
In fact, if I can, I'm going to feel good.
Okay. We'll let that sit for a second.
Okay.
Inhale. And then we exhale. And I always like to kind of lead that inhale and exhale for a moment so everybody remembers.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of combined a couple rounds there a little bit, you know, with the argument and getting the idea across.
Uh-huh.
And you know, a lot of EFT practitioners that I hear, you know, they'll say something different every single line.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found is really helpful is to kind of keep to the same theme until something new pops into your head. It's just like everyone, if you heard Lindsay start interjecting the thoughts that were coming out, I really encourage that in people. And then we just kind of adapt it. Because what you have to say is much more important than whatever it is that I can figure out. That's the way I look at it. So,
yeah, I think that's good. Bill, talk a little bit about, well, wait, we don't really probably need to do any more rounds, I don't think. I think people get
mm-hmm.
the idea. You don't want to. You just want to keep doing that until it's gone, until they feel like the fear is gone, they feel comfortable or feel good or whatever the issue is. Is that right?
And that is very, very true. And when we get down to zeros or if we get stuck, and sometimes when, you know, like the one I'm just patterning this after, we got down to zero, but many, many times you can get stuck because there's some events and some things we need to go into in the future to really get rid of this. And I'll explain, even if we're a zero, that the first thing we're doing, just getting down the fear, isn't the whole picture. If you want to eliminate this out of your life, we kind of need a treatment plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the treatment plan, I teach him this wheel technique, which is a wonderful technique that you draw a circle and you put the problem in the center, and on each of the lines outside of the circle, looks kind of like a little kid drawing the sun. You write down what might have something to do with this issue. And at this point in the session, I tell them that in the future, we're going to take a look at that. I don't end the session by having you try to figure out what's bothering you.
Yeah.
But just let them know that as we're approaching to work on something called a core issue, that's what we're going to do.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's good. Yes, because a lot of times people will peel off a layer of something and it feels better and they stop when they haven't really gotten that down to the center where they need to be. There's other things. Feeling a little better isn't the objective. It's we want to completely heal, get rid of the problem, the thorn in our side, so to speak, and deal with the complete issue.
And that's absolutely true. And I'm a big believer that people do some tapping when they go home, and I tell them if they're going to try and tap this down, and I'll give them a basic recipe with reversals, for example, first session every time. And I tell them at home, you know, don't go tackle the worst memory that pops up there on your own.
Yeah.
Save that for a practitioner, but find the simple things and start tapping them down.
Right. Yeah, that's, yeah. Well, a lot of people make the mistakes of tapping ritual sexual abuse on their own or
mm-hmm.
lifelong low self-esteem or addiction problems that are really difficult for people to do on their own. They need perspective.
Yeah, in fact, that reminds me. I've had a recent influx of several clients that have called me that do EFT, mm-hmm. and they all had some complex or very traumatic issues, and they couldn't get over them. And, you know, they came to someone because I can work with that, and then once we have got that court issue eliminated, then they can tap on their own, and it'll work wonderfully for them. And they all have the experience of tapping down the easier stuff, and then when they got to the more difficult traumatic things, you know, they got stuck.
Right, and a lot of people think, well, there's something wrong with EFT, but it's really it's more complex than they imagine. They don't realize that it's not their fault, it's not EFT's fault, it's just their level of expertise. You wouldn't take a pilot that was trained to fly a little Piper Cub and put him in a 747 and expect him to know how to fly that.
That's a very good analogy. And then on the other side, remember, you're using the brain that's suffering all this to fix the brain that's suffering all this. And if it's bad enough, that's not a great idea.
Yeah,
you know, there are brilliant brain surgeons out there, and none of them operate on themselves, at least I could not.
Right, let's hope they don't. So, Bill, talk to us a little bit about self-acceptance versus self-esteem.
That is wonderful. I'm a great fan of Albert Ellis, who, and again, when we say, I'm not putting down self-esteem, I want to get that point across, but what Albert Ellis in his discoveries in psychology was able to discover is when people try to do self-esteem, it makes them horribly anxious, and we've just been tapping on fear.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because we have these underlying beliefs like unrelenting standards, which is pretty much, you know, there is no job I can do that I can't criticize and find some way to make better. And so people try to get their self-esteem in real life from being good enough. And if you already believe that you're not enough or you're not good enough or you're powerless and vulnerable, what ends up happening is you just make yourself more and more anxious the more you try to feel self-esteem. And this brilliance, Gary Craig or whoever, if it goes back to Roger Callahan, whoever came up with this idea of just saying, you know what, I accept myself anyway, that's absolutely brilliant because
right.
That's the kind of self-esteem, if you will, that allows you to just feel okay. And you don't have to do something in order to get better. And I love that. I've heard Lindsay use this before, too. You start becoming a human being instead of a human doing.
Yeah. Yeah, the beingness part is really important, where you're right, self-esteem. Sometimes people think if I can accomplish these things and get a top grade or get this published or make this amount of money or whatever, then I'll feel good about myself. And on the other hand, Bill, there are people that say, well, if I just self-acceptance, and I agree with you, by the way, I'm just playing the devil's advocate, because some people will say, well, self-acceptance is basically the lazy man's way, just saying, all right, I'm a mess, and I just accept myself that way, and I'll just leave it like that.
And I go, of course. Of course it is. You know how difficult this stuff is? Of course we want to take the quote-unquote lazy man's way.
Yeah.
Acceptance is how you become the person who really loves and cares for themselves. And if you can't accept yourself, you cannot get things accomplished in life. And let's use the unrelenting standards as a perfect example. A person with unrelenting standards, when they accept themselves, that's a person who's very organized, gets things done, and people go to them, and they have a wonderful life. But when you shove it into the point of unrelenting standards, that's a person who's running around in circles, can't get the job done, they're so stressed out. And, you know, your brain doesn't work very well when your stress is 10 out of 10.
Right.
And, in fact, you're not going to get the things done that you want to get done that would help you feel better. And we all know if you do something that's a good job, boy, that feels better. In fact, I was tapping this morning on good jobs I've just recently done. I mean, we call that resource tapping.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, your body needs to be calmed down, and in every session I do, we talk about that the emotions direct what happens in your life, and getting your emotions on your side gets you what you want. And I inferred that in the tapping a little bit, and I really do want to point out that you need to thank that side of you that has been fearful and has been anxious. And there is this idea that if you aren't anxious and then you get anxious, that'll increases your awareness, and it increases your ability to discover when you need to do something. if you're 10 out of 10 anxiety and you get some more dumped on, you'll never even know this.
Yeah, that's right. Go ahead, Bill.
So anyway, that's where the idea of the self-acceptance comes in.
Right.
And the easiest way to get where you need to be is actually the most efficient. And that is another self-delusion, is that if I don't do it the hard way, then it's not worthwhile, I'm not good enough, or I failed.
Oh, yeah, that's a big thing. It has to be hard.
If it's not hard, it can't be good.
Gina, I wonder where we learned that.
I can think of several places.
Yeah, my mom always says, well, if it's too easy, then it's not worth doing. Or everything worthwhile is hard. You have to really work hard for anything. And we hear all the time, you have to work hard on relationships. You have to work hard for your money. And it does become a standard. I also think that it gives us a great excuse. When we make things hard, we make them appear that they're hard, or we believe that they're hard. If we fail at them, it sort of gives us a built-in excuse. Well, it was really, really hard. And and so you have a kind of an out, an excuse, whereas if we make things easy, we choose to make things easy, then there's not as big of a payoff and we don't have an excuse.
That is, and the idea that our delusions are self-fulfilling and so therefore they're true, even though they're a delusion, people can get caught up in that idea very much so that, you know, if I keep failing, then I am powerless. Or if I keep getting hurt, you know, I am powerless. And that idea that we're proving the belief that's causing us all the pain over and over again, that's a cycle that people, you know, they can't figure a way out. And the way out is less by thinking and much more about changing your emotional state. Because when you feel good, and in fact, the person I talked with yesterday on this issue, she wanted to feel strong. She wanted to feel happy and strong. And boy, when she started feeling strong, the power of the delusion just goes away. It doesn't have any, you know, bite to it. It can't rule your life anymore because you feel good.
Well, sure. And the other side of that, if they don't have that opportunity to feel good, instead they just go through life validating and perpetuating these delusional beliefs and just saying, well, see there, I knew it, or they keep getting hurt and disappointed, experiencing failures and beating themselves up to the point where this is what causes people to get stuck, I believe. With the point we get to, and I bet listeners can identify with this, that we get to the point where we say, I can't do this anymore. This is too hard. This is a feel-good. Why? And we get to that why bother state. I'm just going to fail anyway.
Yes, and actually, I did an article on these these delusions about four or five articles back on my website there, and that was part of the thing. It's not only that your personal experience within yourself starts creating these delusions, as in our society and the way we live our life, that is, because the advice we get is, you know, I call it the Nike intervention, just do it.
Yeah.
And everywhere you go, I mean, you go from the doctor to your best friend, and they're telling you just do it.
Uh-huh.
And you get all of this reinforcement that whatever your self-limiting belief is about you must be absolutely true. I mean, I can fake it for my friends in front of them, but deep down inside, I know that this is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do this process, you start to realize that it is just a set of instructions. It's programmed into your mind and your body with an emotional component to it. And when you change the emotion and you change the instructions, it's really, really difficult to get these new wonderful instructions out. It's every bit as difficult to make someone who has done this process feel bad again than it was in the beginning to have them try to feel good. I'm thinking of one right now. I had a client who was severely depressed, and she got better for two sessions. In the third session, she'd had a bad day. She came in, and she was feeling bad. And so I sat there, and I said, well, are you enough? And she did this double take, like, what? How? You know, and then she looked at me and said, of course I'm enough. I waited about 3-4 seconds and just looked at her and smiled, and then she went, oh. Because you know what her initial presentation was.
What?
I am not enough.
Sure.
And I can prove it. I mean, look at my life, you know. And we had to vent for about 20, 30 minutes just to get all the way she wasn't enough and how it was and the tens of thousands of times she'd been told she wasn't enough. You know, I mean, she needed a lot of time just to get that off her chest and get it out. And what people don't realize, within a couple of sessions, you can get to where you wouldn't even consider the fact that you're not enough.
Yeah, it is. It sounds so weird when people start getting down to those low numbers, or I test them and say, now try to get upset about whatever it was, or try to be fearful. And they'll laugh and say, well, it just seems really absurd now to say I'm always abandoned and I'm always hurt. Gee, there's a lot of people around me that love me. And that brings us to the next point, Bill, because the people that are new particularly have a hard time grasping, how does this work? I don't understand it. And I'm experiencing it, but I don't quite. I tap a few rounds, I say a few things, and all of a sudden I feel better.
Well, for reasons we do not understand, when you tap on these acupuncture points, which is what we're tapping on, you know, we call them like, underneath the eye, and that's actually like stomach 3 if you go to an acupuncturist.
Mm-hmm.
But when we tap these points, it causes your parasympathetic nervous system to fire. And taken out of the medical babble, that means there's a part of the automatic nervous system in your body that when it kicks into gear, it causes your fight or flight response to shut down. It changes your hormonal structure of what's being excreted and going through your bloodstream. And we all know that hormones are important in how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, things like muscle tension, people start yawning. I see people's shoulders drop all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you start this relaxation response. And instead of avoiding what's bothering you, you know how the self-acceptance statement is brilliant. The problem statement, which is what we call it, where we keep saying the problem, and those that are new and just heard us when we did our tapping a little earlier, we kept saying the problem over and over and over again. And the reason is because as you're having this wonderful response and you're talking about the problem, your mind and body starts to together to associate with you thinking about the issue and feeling calm and relaxed.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, and it stays put because your brain waves are slowing down too, and they're getting like a little kid's brain waves. You know, and little kids, you can put a child in a home that's trilingual, and none of the people that speak the three different languages explain to the child what the words mean in all three different languages, and it'll learn all three languages if they will learn all three languages at once. And they'll learn the context. And I got to tell you, if you put me in, you know, three languages I'd never heard of and put me in a room with people and said, live with these guys and figure out all three languages, I'd be lost.
Yeah, I'm still having a little trouble with English sometimes.
Yeah, me too. It's my primary language, and I hope I learn it much better soon.
Well, that's true. I've heard about the three languages because kids absorb things. That's why we have the problem with the limiting beliefs. They're absorbing and believing all of the things that they're witnessing and hearing as a child, such as what's the matter with you, can't you do anything right, or you'll never amount to anything, or whatever those beliefs that you're going to be abandoned or you're not safe.
And they really are hardwired. And I'll give you another example, because everything gets hardwired when you're little. And it's supposed to work that way, and I'll give you an example. If, like, eating pudding or ice cream, Lindsay, I'm willing to bet it's been a long time since you accidentally got it on the top of your head when you're eating.
Got it on the top of my head?
Yeah, you're eating ice cream,
yeah.
And you accidentally dump the spoon on top of your head instead of in your mouth.
Yeah.
But if you've ever seen somebody in a high chair trying to learn how to eat, that was a skill. I mean, we totally forget that's a skill because it becomes internalized. That's one of the reasons why our brain waves speed up at about age 6, is because we don't want to forget how to walk. We don't want to forget how to eat. And so that's why our brain has this hardwiring. And from an ethical standpoint, that's also why we have the hardwiring that teaches us to feel bad if we were going to steal something, that allows us to hang around and go to school and take all those classes and suffer through those tests because, you know, it's going to give us a better job. Those abilities are biologically built into human beings. The only thing that happens is when you get hurt too badly and you feel too awful, you'll put this delusional belief in, you know, I can't have my own space, one that I had a couple months ago, you know, I need validation from a man. That's an example of a female client I had. And these get hardwired and you think, I can never get rid of these. And just try to forget how to walk. Go ahead and do the experiment. You won't be able to, and it is because that's how our unconscious mind actually works.
Let's give an example for the people that are listening. I want everybody to cross your hands Cross your arms. You know, cross your arms. Just cross your arms. So that you have, you can see the palm on the top, look down and see which palm, the fingers of one hand should be on the top of the bicep of the other hand. It doesn't matter which, just look at that. Now, uncross your arm. So for me, my right hand is on the top of my left bicep, and my left arm is tucked under that, under my right arm. So now, take your hands out and spread them wide. Now, put your hands back together and fold your arms the opposite way. Go on. What's the matter? Come on. Why can't you do it? Look how
and it feels so weird because we're not programmed that way.
That's right. Isn't that hard? It's a simple thing. It's not like saying right with your left hand if you're right-handed. Or it's just a movement, but it's actually hard to get that twisted back around and get it the opposite way. You have to consciously think of it. And so I think that's a little bit along the lines. Talk about the beta brainwave response.
Yes, it basically, when you record how you're going to be, the theta brainwave response, which is all that is, it's just a fancy way of saying that your brainwaves are pulsating at a slower speed. And this turns on the record button in your unconscious mind. And we've had this idea for a long time that if we just talk to our unconscious mind, our subconscious mind as it's also called, we're going to convince it to do things. And I love Bruce Lipton, and I stole this from him. He says it's very much like going home, seeing a movie playing on your TV, and then having this heartfelt discussion with your DVD player about why you don't like the movie.
Yeah, right.
In other words, the unconscious mind, we know from psychoneuroimmunology and psychoneurobiology, which are a couple of my passions, we know for sure that that part of the mind doesn't evaluate. It doesn't make decisions. It doesn't listen to what you're saying. What it does is it takes this memory that happened today and it connects it with a memory that seems to be kind of the same. So if you have a stressful moment at work today, it'll connect it with that stressful moment you had when you were 3. It'll connect it when people made fun of you when you were 16. It'll connect all these memories together in your mind, and all of that emotional energy will be there just waiting for the next time you stub your toe or somebody cuts you off in traffic and you go, why did I blow up like that? That's where it comes from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a conditioned response. It's just if you get in the habit of doing things a certain way, thinking a certain way, and that you're stuck. So how does tapping change that using the theta wave? So how is that?
Well, what happens is when we're tapping, these brain waves slow down. And when they slow down, because, again, it's just like turning the record button on your DVD player, DVR, or whatever recording device you're using. When you turn the record button on and you say, you know, I want to feel good anyway. I want to feel good, which is the one we just used. It starts to become just how you feel. And as you take each one of these pathways in your brain, and these are just pathways that have this information, and as you change one after the other, particularly you're doing the more critical ones, you will start to spontaneously feel good. I had a client I can remember from a couple months ago, actually, who she came in just smiling like crazy, and she said, you know what? I feel warm and happy for no good reason.
Oh, my gosh, you should be arrested.
Well, this is a person that woke up every single morning filled with dread.
Oh, yeah.
And she had 2 levels of bad things that have happened, and in both levels, no one ever even said they were sorry. And that's an important thing to do for yourself, and I do as a practitioner. When we really resolve an issue, it's, sometimes I just say, you know what, I am so sorry this happened to you. You know, it's really important for someone to feel like someone cared and got what I went through. And that's half the reason this person was filled with dread. She's very intelligent, very highly trained in the mental health field, you know, lots of degrees, all of that stuff. But no one had ever said, you know, this is really an awful thing you went through. And once you discover that an awful thing causes this reaction in you and you can accept that, then it's just a reaction. And you can change reactions. And with EFT, you can really change reactions better than anything I've ever seen.
Right, because you're rewiring that. I think that's such a good thing. It's sort of like, I liked your analogy with the record button. If you're watching a DVD, you're just watching it, and it's just going to play what it's been programmed to. You can change that by hitting the record button, taping over it.
Yes, absolutely. And biologically, this is very, very true. There's a, if you get a chance, search the internet and just type in the name Robert Sapolsky, S-O-S-A-L. Oh, I'm just misspelled now.
S-P, probably.
S-A-P-O-L-S-K-Y. There
you go. S-A-P-O-L-S-K-Y.
Yeah.
Okay.
Robert Sapolsky, and they have all these free courses you can take from him. And when he describes stress or feeling better, he'll tell you that our neurons have, you know, they have thousands, many of them, our individual nerve cells, have thousands of ends on them. And these ends, they grow and shrink depending on the instructions that you give them. And if you feel stressed over and over again, there are thousands of connections to even a single neuron in there, a single nerve cell that gives, in other words, the more connections you have, the more energy you're going to have, the quicker it's going to go this way. So whenever you tap, you're actually reprogramming this, and the more times you go through it, and I'm going to talk about this just in a second, the more times you go through and tap in, I'm feeling good, I am good, I'm feeling great, I'm feeling powerful, or like yesterday, I'm feeling powerful, and I'm feeling happy, I'm feeling, you know, I am happy, I am powerful. Mm-hmm. In fact, we'll do that in just a second. The more times you do that, you're actually growing new ends on the happy pathways in your brain. And these new ends, as they connect more and more and more, they start to become just exactly how you feel.
That's true. If you take a little kid, that little 8-year-old boy, and say, do you like frogs? Most little 8-year-old boys will say, yeah, I like frogs. And
absolutely.
Are you afraid of frogs? No. But if you put a frog in their hand and have them say over and over, I'm afraid of frogs, I'm afraid of frogs, I'm afraid of frogs, they're nasty, they cause warts, they bite, they spit, they smell, they're slimy, I hate frogs, I'm afraid of frogs. Pretty mm-hmm. soon that little kid's going to drop the frog and go, ew.
Yep.
Even though nothing really changed, but he's just saying these negative things. Well, it works in a positive way as well. If you keep saying, I want to feel good, I want to feel good, I allow myself to feel good, I am feeling good, and you just start doing that, you really can start changing those neurons and start changing the way you feel. And if you add tapping to it, that's what makes it so much more powerful, right?
That is exactly right. And you brought up a good thought for me. When you're a little kid and you're in this state of brainwave state, the other part is your limbic system, which is your emotional system, is not fully wired. It's not fully wired till you're 19, 20, 21, somewhere around there. And so adults, when you're a little kid, and even if you're older than 6, get to control how you feel. And your experiences control how you feel because you're not fully wired yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't understand that. And so the little kid, let's say it's the little girl and her brother just put the frog down her blouse and it was slimy and ooh, she could actually be pretty terrified of frogs when she grows up.
Sure.
And the reason is because when you're little, you, whatever you're told, whatever your experience is, goes in and is absolutely hardwired. And when you get older, the only way you can change this hardwiring that I have ever found, I mean, in psychology, I saw all these wonderful techniques from cognitive behavioral therapy that help people get rid of panic and all sorts of things, but they still suffered. They could talk their way out, and I got very good in the outpatient programs I used to work in California. They got very good at once you realized you were suffering and anxious and fearful, that you could use the technique that works for you and talk yourself back out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was the initial programming was still there. It was still in the unconscious because they hadn't reprogrammed over it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally figured out how EFT works, I was just absolutely blown away because this is something that for hundreds of years, as we've studied and learned more, nobody thought would even be possible to do. This is certainly a 21st century technology. This is beyond what's been available to human beings up until this point.
You know, that's so true, Bill. And one of the things I hear, especially from new people or skeptics, well, if it's that good, why isn't it more prominent? Why doesn't everybody know about it?
I have a very good answer for that. We're at the tipping point. Mm-hmm. Right now, I had never heard of EFT in the town I moved to down here, Boise, Idaho. In fact, I moved here to set up a yoga studio and do cognitive behavioral therapy somehow and mix them together because I was so desperate to try, actually about 3 years ago, I was so desperate to, how can we get the mind and the body to change at the same time? And I discovered it about 2 years ago, quite by accident, and I'll give a shout-out to Dr. Mercola there. He has a great website, and that's how I discovered it, and took the course. And now it is pretty common. You know, I go out and talk to people, and I work in the hospital, and I have clients, and people are starting to cross-refer. And I'd say 30-40% of the time, people have already heard of EFT. They know about emotional freedom technique. They may not know about progressive, which is this wonderful arm. And again, I can't say enough, if you're out there, do study what Lindsay has developed here. It's one of the most phenomenal advances that's happened in energy psychology, and I think the most phenomenal, which is why I trained with her. But people are beginning to find this out. And you're not going to hear it on the news media because none of us have a $1.5 billion of advertising budget to advertise what we do. Mm-hmm. But by word of mouth, people are really beginning to find this out.
Oh, yeah. The little thing, you know, it takes, being on Oprah kind of a thing. You know, the movie The Secret had been out for a long time, and until those people got on Oprah and it went viral then, of course, and it became gigantic. That sort of thing has to happen, and I think we are getting to that point with EFT. I was talking to a neurosurgeon the other day, and I mentioned EFT, and he goes, oh, yeah, you know, I've heard about that. I know a little bit about it, and I told him a little bit more, and I actually did some muscle testing with him to demonstrate the way the body's mm-hmm. energy moves, how energy moves through the body, and it just blew him away. No neurosurgeon. He said, oh, my God, that's amazing. And I said, well, that isn't even EFT. That's just, I'm just doing it, showing you about how, I said, you know, as a neurosurgeon, you're measuring electricity in the brain all the time with EEGs. And this is a way to measure it in the whole body and how to do something and how it affects your emotions. And we did a little tapping, and he spent about 45 minutes with me, which neurologists do not do. But it is getting out, and we have I have lots of medical doctors and psychiatrists, psychologists for clients and other medical professionals, and it is getting out there.
It is. Like in the hospital where I work, that's true, because now that I've got now close to 60 documented cases of working inpatient with people where they started out at a 9 or a 10 or a 7 and they ended up at a 0 and sometimes a 4 or 2 depending on time limits and all that in that situation. And, you know, after 30, 40, or 50 of them, people start going, huh, this thing might actually work.
Yeah, and they're always going to be skeptics. Well, Bill, we got to wrap up. Any last thoughts that you might have?
Yes. Feel free to tap on yourself about happy emotions every single day. And there is, at my website, at Lindsay's site, Patricia Carotene has some new things coming out. There are, one thing I can tell you about emotional freedom practitioners is we all want to give this to the world. And there is tons of things that you can do to research. Just Google it. Go to YouTube. Tap along with the little free videos that are available. There is, if you start doing this and you do this enough, you too will find a way to feel better.
Well, that's true. That's great, Bill. I want to give people your website, by the way, which is proeftcenter.com, proeftcenter.com. Is that correct?
That is correct. It's just the pro and then EFT, just like the radio show. And I just put the word center in there, and then you get the .com.
Mm-hmm.
And feel free to write me or call me anytime. I love responding to people writing to me and calling me and explaining what's going on. And I do some blog articles there that explain in a little more detail. If you read the blog articles that are, for example, the one on self-fulfilling delusional beliefs, that particular article, if you'll go tap on the links there, I can't help but use the word tap, but click on the links that are in my articles, it will take you to either a self-instruction video or it'll take you to, an abstract of a clinical study, or it'll take you to a video by somebody like Bruce Lipton or Robert Sapolsky explaining the neurobiology that's involved in that. So you can begin to get a pretty good background in why this works and how it can help you.
That's great. Well, Bill, I want to thank you so much. The hour flew by, and you have a lot of information. Be sure and find Bill, and you can contact him from his website, proeftcenter.com. And thank you again so much for joining us tonight, Bill, and everybody else for joining us as well.
Yes, thank you. And Lindsay, as always, I just love talking to you, and I really appreciate all the help you've given me in the training. It's just invaluable.
Well, thank you so much for that, and Bill, and it's been my pleasure, trust me. Thank you so much for coming on the show. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Join us again every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, as Lindsay has conversations with the top talent in the world of energy psychology. Our intention is to help you tap away your challenges and tap into physical and emotional freedom. Find replays of these shows on the media page at proeft.com. And again, thank you for joining us.